I am preaching on the passage from James, but I'm going to structure my talk around a very key verse in Proverbs that ties beautifully in what I want to say this morning. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. Looking firstly at the power of our words to give life. Secondly, the power of words in death. And finally, some practicalities for us today, how we can interpret this in a meaningful way for ourselves. So firstly, life. I have confirmed this with Dr. Emily Wilkinson this morning. I'm not speaking nonsense. I am told that doctors use the tongue diagnostically at times to work out what is going on inside someone's body, just on occasion. They can be indicative of a healthy body or otherwise. In the same way, the words that come out of our mouth can be indicative of what's going on in our souls. James begins the passage that we've heard today by saying, leaders and those who teach will be held to higher account. That is bad news for me and Rachel. But as you know, when I've preached on leadership, I believe we all lead in some way in our own lives. And so we're all called to a higher account as Christians. We have the power to speak love and life over people. We have the power to speak life and love over those that society has deemed to be unlovable. And in so doing, we mirror Jesus. Jesus spoke life. And he did so with the small instrument that was the tongue. James likens it to a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a ship, because this tiny instrument has the power to change a much, much, much larger thing. In the same way, our words have the power to turn despair into hope. We have the power to speak life over those in despair and to lift the eyes of the downtrodden to gaze on Jesus. The way out is that way. His name is Jesus. Now, another important caveat, having alluded to swearing at the beginning of this talk, I'm not actually talking about swearing, although, of course, I would discourage swearing, and I will discourage my children from swearing, but actually, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. There are times, in fact, where swearing can give voice to bottled-up emotion in a way that is really healthy, to be used with caution, of course, but sometimes there is something to be said for giving credence to how we feel, and that is a good and a godly thing, because we know it's not healthy to push down our emotions. Emotions are good. They are healthy. It's just how we deal with them that matters. A good friend of mine worked full-time supporting addicts in their recovery, a number of which had come to faith through the course of this process. And some of them had been quite damaged by Christian programs that were designed to support them, but where swearing was very strictly forbidden. Because as they resisted the drugs and the alcohol that had been bottling up and suppressing their emotions, and those emotions began to be felt and come to the surface, they felt there was no healthy outlet. And one or two of them recall how they relapsed because they couldn't give voice to how they were feeling. There are very rare occasions where strong language is healthy. It's just how we deal with that. This is not about swearing. This is about how we speak to and about others. Reverend Pulley, who is a pastor of a Pentecostal church, said this: as the living word, Jesus made a conscious choice to speak life and to call forward the good that he knew existed in each individual. Jesus spoke life to those who were sick, and they were healed. Jesus spoke life to those who were dead, and they were raised to life again. Jesus spoke life to those who were possessed with demons, and they were delivered, and they were set free. Jesus spoke life to the lepers, and they were cleansed. Jesus spoke life to the woman caught in adultery, and her life was changed forever. And although Jesus is no longer here in physical form, he continues to speak life. He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us, on behalf of us. He is praying for those who have not yet had their spiritual awakening, so that they can experience abundant and eternal life. He is seeing them as the children of God that they are, perfect, whole, and complete. That is our calling now, as his hands and feet, as he isn't here in physical form. So we are to be little Christs as Christians and to speak life over others. There is life in the power of the tongue. But there is also death. As much as our words have the power to break unhealthy cycles, to speak life and to change people's lives, we can also break others with the things that we say. On very rare occasion, I visit a lovely salon to get my nails done, and I was chatting with the pair of ladies that I've gotten to know quite well over the years who own and run it. And they were sharing with me their manifesto when they opened this salon, and that was that every single woman that comes to visit them should leave feeling $1 million inside and out. This was more than a superficial thing for them. This was about building them up. I asked them where they got this from, and they told me this extraordinary story. One of the ladies had struggled with her weight her whole life, and she had reached a point where she'd realized what the emotional reasons for that were, and she was on a journey of healing. And she'd also found a program of healthy eating and exercise that was really working, and she lost a huge amount of weight and got really healthy. They were due to go on holiday, but she was still really impacted by her body image and was really nervous about going on the beach. So her friend encouraged her, go and get a spray tan, feel a little bit more confident, and then you'll be okay to step out. So she went and she got this treatment, and she was feeling a little bit better about herself. And she packed up her things and she was on her way out of the salon, ready to go on holiday. And she heard the beauty therapist that had treated her on her way out say to her colleague, "Do you see that fat cow that I just sprayed?" And she was broken, absolutely crushed in that moment. All that good work undone in two words, two unkind words. Do you remember a year or so ago, the hashtag #BeKind was trending, and for very good reason. Caroline Flack had just died by suicide, and everyone was very, very conscious of our need to be kind. Well, something about it sort of slightly irked me, and I couldn't put my finger on it until I actually sat down to write this. And yes, absolutely, of course, we must be kind. That's imperative. But Christian teaching is so much more powerful than that. Christian teaching is not just about not being awful. It's about speaking life into situations that changes the atmosphere. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. We are to speak life over death. We are to speak healing to sickness and light into the darkness. This is so much more than just being kind, although that is good and important. James tells us that every word we speak will be weighed. Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says, Jesus warns us, every idle word men may speak, this applies to women too, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. That gives me chills. Words can kill. We no longer believe sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. This is, I don't know if the image is going to come up, but we'll give it a go. Hannah Smith. May or may not come up, doesn't matter. Hannah was a very young girl who died by suicide after being bullied online. The second image I was going to show you was that of her father carrying her bright purple decorated casket at her funeral. David Smith, her father, has campaigned tirelessly since this time to shut down the websites where her online bullying occurred, particularly Ask FM. This was a place where people can post anonymously, so with no integrity whatsoever. They can make comments about others, and he discovered after she had died that his daughter had been viciously trolled online. One such comment was, "Can you just kill yourself already?" Hannah was found by her 16-year-old sister, hanged in her bedroom. Her dad said, "We have lost Hannah in the most horrendous way imaginable. No family should ever have to go through this." Out of curiosity, I looked up Ask FM to find it still fully functioning. I was invited to sign up. I didn't. Words have power. We can speak life. We can speak love. We can speak encouragement. We can speak edification over another. We are not powerless in this. There's life and death in the power of our tongues. And the Spirit of God has the power through the words that we say to change up the atmosphere, to alter the trajectory of events as we witness the love of Christ to this world. So lastly, let's get practical. What does this mean for us now? Well, there's a little litmus test you may have heard already, but it's worth sharing multiple times. Before you hit send on social media or WhatsApp or on an email, or before you open your mouth, think, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? True. In Scripture, the devil is referred to as the father of lies. Now, I hope I don't outright lie, but I know I'm guilty of hyperbole sometimes. And actually, that can be quite damaging. That's something I'm really working on in myself. Is this strictly true? Is this strictly true? Secondly, is it necessary? Does this really need to be said? And that can be good and challenging words. Does this really need to be said? And the answer may well be yes. Scripture is full of challenges. What matters is the how. So lastly, is it helpful? Is the thing that you are about to say helpful, encouraging, edifying, uplifting? If you are going to do this, if you are going to challenge, come also with a loving solution, with an offer of support. Come with a helpful suggestion. Don't just come with a criticism. James uses very strong language. He speaks of fire and poison, but he does this to challenge in love. Come with something encouraging and uplifting. He gives us constructive suggestions in Scripture. We are to fill our mouths with the praises of God. It is far harder to speak negatively about others when we're doing that, when we're full of the worship of God. This is the bridle in the mouth that will control what comes out of it, rather than speaking hurt and pain to each other. Gossip is not okay. It is not okay because it's often used as a bonding tool to draw closer to someone else at the expense of another person who is excluded from that conversation. That is not okay. And one to really watch as Christians. I'm sharing this for your prayers. I've done that. I know I've done it. I'm sure we've all done it. Just check your heart. Sometimes, yes, we do need to share for prayers. Absolutely. But just check your heart. Is that your motivation? If so, brilliant. Praise God. But just put that check in place. Lastly, look at how the Bible speaks about us, how Jesus spoke about us. That is the test. Let's speak about others in that way, both to them and behind their backs. We are more precious than rubies. We are known and we are loved. The Lord knows us by name and can count the numbers of hair, number of hairs on our head. That is the message that we carry as Christians. Let that be the witness of our words, because there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Let's draw this together in prayer. Let's pray. David prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Lord, forgive us when we have praised you with one mouth and cursed others with the same. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, with a spirit of self-control, and with a love for others that overflows into our words, be they out loud or online. To the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen.